Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. Each year on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Church has its focus on our Blessed Mother. And the reason that the Church proposes Mary to us as Christmas is nearing is because Mary is the model of how we should be living this season of Advent. In a certain sense, it's been said that Mary is Advent personified. God the Father had prepared her from the first moment of her life, from the Immaculate Conception, to be a worthy mother of his son. And when she was quite young, she discovered that she was part of God's answer to the prayer of all of Israel for a Messiah. But she discovered that this was going to come about in a quite unexpected way. And not only would the Messiah be her own son, but her son would also be God. Mary's yes to the Archangel Gabriel really launched, you might say, the preparation for the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. And each year on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we have one passage or another, depending on the year, from the Gospel of Luke. We explicitly follow the footsteps that Mary traced on that first Advent. And we certainly, in our hearts and liturgically, we're entering into her response of faith that should be a guide to us on our own pilgrimage of faith. Today we travel with Mary to the birthplace of John the Baptist, and we're told that she went with haste to take care of her elderly kinswoman, Elizabeth, who was pregnant for the first time. It was not the angel's idea that Mary make this trip. It seems that Mary's love for Elizabeth was a key reason for making the trip, and she wanted to help her out. Now, the distance, we're told, the scripture scholars or tradition knows the little village near Jerusalem where Elizabeth was living and where John the Baptist was born. But the distance was about 60 miles from Nazareth. But evidently, making this trip on her own didn't scare her. We do know that she traveled with incredible faith. We also know that she could not have known in a simply human way that she was pregnant. She could only know that she was pregnant by faith in the words of the angel Gabriel. And doubtless along the journey, we can imagine that Mary had been meditating on the words that had been given to her by the Lord through Gabriel, and how all of the prophecies of the Old Testament were going to be fulfilled in her. She was traveling to Elizabeth also as the first bearer of the gospel, the good news, that would change human history. And because she was literally bringing Jesus Christ with her, Mary was able to burst out in joy in the presence of Elizabeth in the famous prayer, the Magnificat, for precisely this reason being filled with joy. And this brings us, the church tells us, to the first lesson that the church would like to remind us about on this Sunday. And namely, to bring the joy to others this Christmas, we ourselves have to have Jesus Christ in us, with us. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift, of course, that anyone could receive. It's the greatest gift we could bring to anyone that we really love. Now, we can buy all kinds of gifts for Christmas, and I look forward to the gifts that I receive. But if we are not, at the same time, giving Jesus Christ, these other gifts, in a certain sense, there's something somewhat counterfeit about Christmas gifts if we are not also bringing Jesus Christ. It would be like having immense Christmas decorations in one's home, outside one's home, and yet, at the same time, if it were a home where there's no prayer going on, if we are not thinking of gifts that are truly lacking, there's something not quite right there. So Mary didn't come to simply hand something material to Elizabeth. She brought the most important thing she could. She brought Jesus Christ to Elizabeth. And Mary challenges us all the time to bring Jesus Christ, to be Jesus Christ in our family, and certainly when we're close to those who are in need. Now, the Holy Spirit inspires Elizabeth then to bless Mary among all women, and for two reasons. Well, first of all, there's because of the blessed fruit of her womb and because of her faith that the Lord's words through Gabriel would be fulfilled in her. In other words, Mary was blessed because of Jesus and because of her faith in the still embryonic Savior, her son, which brings us to the second lesson that the church wants us to recall on this particular Sunday. And that is that the greatest blessings in this world are two. The first of the greatest blessings is person, Jesus Christ. And secondly, our faith in him. And if on Christmas we were to receive the most wonderful, most fantastic material things, they would be of little consequence compared to the value of the gift of God and the gift of increased faith in him. So these are our priorities this Christmas. The Father who gave us the gift of his Son that first Christmas wants us to give his Son again this Christmas to be God with us, Emmanuel. But he wants us to ask for him in faith and always in the case of grace to respond to him in faith by making the time to be with God in prayer, by saying in our own hearts, let it be done to me according to your word, and then by allowing the Lord's words to be fulfilled in us, in every action we take, certainly in every decision that we make. The third lesson that we're asked to recall on this Sunday is that we are called to emulate from that first Advent what Mary did at the end of the whole passage that we're given in the Gospel of Luke. As soon as Elizabeth blessed her, Mary's contemplative heart exploded in prayer. It's the Magnificat prayer. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, and so on. In Mary's Magnificat response to the blessing of God's love coming into this world, into her heart, literally into her womb, was not just faith in the sense of something mentally going on in our minds, but it was a faith with action. It was faith in action, and that was her own prayer. If God is really Emmanuel, God with us, then our response in faith should always be prayer, literally to be ourselves with God. Mary's heart was filled with wonder and praise. Her soul magnified the Lord, and our hearts and souls Every day should do the same. And we're each called to magnify the Lord, to rejoice in his love. Those of you who've been to me for confession, you know, I tell everyone all the time, do everything you can in your daily prayer simply to lift up your heart in a spirit of thanksgiving to God. The more we can build that foundation of thanksgiving in our hearts, thanksgiving to God especially, is the stronger our whole spiritual foundation. We aren't going to be totally protected from everything that's going to come crashing down on us, but it's a big help when those things happen. But we can magnify the Lord only if we continue to work to center our lives on God, certainly not on ourselves, not on anything. And so preparing for Christmas means more time for us going to Mary's son in prayer than, for example, the time that we would spend at the mall searching for gifts. Now, the church has put on our lips this Sunday a particularly helpful prayer. And it's a combination of words that God put into Gabriel's lips when he brought the message heaven had been waiting to give from all eternity, to say to Mary, and these words that the Holy Spirit inspired Elizabeth to say in today's gospel. And you bring these together and you have, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So we, this Sunday in particular, we make these words our own. We ask our Blessed Mother to pray for us sinners now so that we ourselves might be full of grace and with the Lord. Mary knows that some of us are not full of grace. This applies to all of us at one point or another. And she pleads with those in this situation to go to the tribunal of mercy of her son, established for the forgiveness of our sins. She reminds us that for the Lord Emmanuel to be with us, we need to be heading toward him who is coming. We need to ourselves be moving in his direction. It's not simply him coming to us. To embrace him in prayer and to be in loving communion with him. One of the things that is important for us to remember at this Mass is that same Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary in Nazareth will soon literally overshadow me at the altar. And near the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, when my two hands go over the gifts that have been brought forward, the Holy Spirit comes down on the altar and will convert those gifts literally into the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that same Jesus who came to Mary is going to be coming to us on the altar. Mary will give birth this week in 2 days at Christmas, and the fruit of her womb should bring us all much joy.